Well, please, let's turn to Judges chapter 6. Actually, Judges chapter 7. We'll see a little something in 6. Judges chapter 7. Saw a little thought in here the other day, and I want to share it with you. Judges chapter 7, verse number 12, if you will. Of course, Judges 6 and 7 is the story of Gideon, a familiar story, and I'm going to take somewhat for granted that you know some of the story. But let's read a part here in Judges chapter 7, verse number 12. Again, I apologize for my voice tonight, but we'll see what happens. Lord, we won't get into one of those, my mom used to call it coffin jag, whatever jag means, I don't know, but that's what she used to call it. Judges chapter 7, verse number 12. And it says that in the Midianites and the Amalekites, and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for a multitude. And their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for a multitude. Huge army. And they all got together, surrounding the Israelites. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, he's kind of eavesdropping in on the army there. Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came into a tent and smote it, that it fell and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned unto the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into three companies. And he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said to them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also in every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp. And all the hosts ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Bethshitta and Zarephath, and to the border of Abel-Meholah, unto Tabbath. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and out of the Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. The Midianites. Anyway. I got a little thought I want us to hear tonight, and I've entitled this, Victory Over the Powers of the World. Victory over the powers of the world. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. And Lord, you're so faithful. And Lord, I have so little to give, and yet you have so much to give. We are just empty vessels, empty earthen vessels. But Lord, it amazes me what you can do when we allow ourselves to be broken for you. So Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts here this evening. I want to encourage our folks. Lord, there's probably many folks who would like to do more than they're doing. But like Gideon, when the angel came and said, oh, man of valor, he kind of looked around to see who he was talking to. And yet, Lord, the valor and the might come from you if we'll just break ourselves and give ourselves to you. Lord, I pray that you give our church vision to see a change in our community and maybe in our country, at least in our county. Lord, we can do great things when we realize that you are the one who bring it about and then we allow you to do it. Encourage our folks here this evening. And may we rise up in arms of faith, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Sometimes we can become discouraged in the work of the Lord. We feel we're fighting a losing battle. We can even get to the point where we are tired of fighting and just want to escape the fight. Hide from the enemy. Lay low. Just try to get through life. That may be that might be the way you feel in our community. It may be how you feel in your family, in your household where you're living. You may be one of the few people who's trying to live the way the Lord wants you to live. And sometimes we just kind of say, well, you know, it's bigger than me. I can't fight this all by myself. And I've been trying. And after a while, you just kind of want to go hide. We forget that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We forget that it's not us who wins the battle, but the battle is the Lord's. We may even think that in order to fight the world, we have to fight the way the world fights, in the strength of the flesh. And if we're not careful, we'll lash out. We'll get angry. We'll go through the process the way the world goes. And listen, God's not expecting us to fight the way he fights. Listen, the battle we are facing is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. We can feel very insignificant in the fight against the world, and totally insufficient to even make a dent in the oppression of the world. And the Lord has a formula for defeating the world. The problem is that it makes no sense to us. The greatest obstacle is not the enemy, it's our own lack of faith in God's promise and command of God. Even then, it doesn't take great faith, but enough faith to act upon God's promises. I don't really have a lot of points, but I want you to see some things here this evening. First thing I want you to see is that the people of Israel were overwhelmed and oppressed by the world around them. The fact is, we can get the feeling that we're overwhelmed, we're oppressed, we're outnumbered, if you will. Look at Judges chapter 6, verse 1. Judges chapter 6, verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. They went and hid in a bunch of caves, hiding. The fact is, they were trying to lay low. Sometimes we as Christians, it's almost like we get to the point we don't want anybody to know we're a Christian. We want to lay low. We want to go under the radar, just kind of keep ourselves out of sight. Verse 3, it says, and so it was when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, the children of East, even they came up against them. And they camped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till they come into Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and there came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number. And they entered into the land to destroy it. By the way, when it says without number, God knew the number. But as far as we're concerned, there's no way you can even count them. Again, we feel like sometimes we make a little bit of headway for the Lord, and something else comes along and wipes that out. We're trying to do a little bit of work, and something comes along and wipes that out. You lead somebody to the Lord, you think they're growing, all of a sudden the old devil comes in, and he starts to whisper in their ear, and off they go, and you think, wow, that was worthless. Verse 6, and Israel was greatly impoverished because the Midianites, the children of Israel, cried unto the Lord. Let me say this. It came to a point where they had nothing. Now hang on to me. There are a lot of churches across America that have dried up, died, and closed the doors. They feel like they have nothing. They feel like they've been defeated by the world. And the fact is, they've been fighting in their own flesh, and they are defeated. God's not defeated, but But we can become defeated. Verse 7. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drove them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But ye have not obeyed my voice. That's the problem. We lost it because we've been doing our own thing. Too busy playing bingo. Too busy having this little party and that little party. Trying to be open-minded. We've had people say, are you a welcoming church? Absolutely we're welcoming. What they mean is, are you going to accept my sin? No. We accept you. Come on in. And either, and the word of God is either going to work in your heart and change who you are, or you're going to have to go. I mean, you on your choice, not on our choice. They were overwhelmed. They were oppressed by the world. Why? Well, I'll tell you. They were in a bad, number two, they were in a bad situation because they had stopped serving the Lord. He says, I brought you out of Egypt. I saved your soul. I did amazing things. But your problem is you didn't serve me. Judges chapter 2, verse 12. Judges chapter 2, verse 12. I'm sorry, verse 7. Chapter 2, verse 7. We'll finish at 12. This is early on. It says, when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel, I'm sorry, verse 7. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord and that he did for Israel. So they got into the promised land. And they said, well, as long as Joshua is leading, we'll do what Joshua says. Verse 7. Verse 8, and Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them that knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord, God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, and of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. They had been born, by the time we get to Gideon, they were being born into a mess. But yet each of us have a choice as to whether we will perpetuate that mess or whether we're going to change it. We feel we're outnumbered. The enemy far outnumbers us. Several times it says, as a multitude of grasshoppers. We feel like, we're just one little group of people. What can one little group of people do? Why bother to fight? The world seems to be winning. And in ways they are, but I know the end of the book, we do win. But they feel, it looks like, and the fact is, they can defeat us at this moment. Ultimately, God wins, but we could be defeated ourselves individually. Our church, there's churches all over this country that are closed. They say there's churches that are closed every day of the week. Listen, the world seems to be winning, but that is not because they're so strong. It's because we are so weak in the Lord. We have refused to have the Lord as our king. That's what was happening here in Judges. I'm talking about in general. We refuse to have the Lord as our king and authority, and so the world has been allowed to creep in, take us over, and now we are afraid to oppose them. If the reason for the dilemma is that we refuse to have the Lord as our king, we refuse to serve him, then you know what the remedy of our dilemma is? To make the Lord our king and do as he says. That's where we fail. That's where we're going to start. That's the way it works in your family. That's the way it works in your home. That's the way it works in your life. That's the way it's going to work in the church. It's the way it works in our community. Number three, another thought. Many of our own people have given into the world. Well, it's the way it is. That's our generation. How many times I said, well, that's what the young people want. Since when are we supposed to be doing what they want rather than what they need? It's what they want. Well, they won't come if this is what you give. Now, first of all, we may not have trained them the way they should have gone when they were born. We should have raised them up to fear the Lord. The rest of the world can go a long way. We have failed to pass it on. I read that. It says, they knew not what the Lord had done. There rose up another generation that knew not what the... Why was that? Whose fault was that? That was the previous generation's fault. And you say, well, that's all that we've got to do with what they like, or we won't get them at all. Well, then you won't have anything then. Even with getting them in the door, getting them under the same roof is not what we need. We are so busy saying, well, you know, listen, we have a nice building. I want it, and we use it. And the kids, you know, they come in, they play ball. We've got stuff. The school's using it for playing ball. All this, that's a wonderful thing. But playing ball doesn't change the hearts. It might get them off the street temporarily. But it's the Word of God that changes who they are. And if we're not given the Word of God, we have not accomplished what God has called us to do. Judges 6:24. Look what happened here. Judges 6:24. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. And unto this day it is yet in Ophron and the Abiezrites. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of the rock in the ordered place, and to take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that, I love this, Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death, while it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. This is a sad thing, but it's a truth, and it can happen again. Gideon took a stand, and you know what his father said? You know, you might be right. His father had decided to go along with the rest of the men. They were upset because you dare challenge their traditions, dare challenge their religion. Listen, we've got that here. We've got people. We have people in our community, and you know it, who think you're going to get to heaven because you got your head wet. And if you dare say, knock down their idol, and say, you know what? Baptism isn't what saves you. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. They'll get angry. Listen, I've known folks who get angry enough, they'll want to punch you in the nose. That's where we're living. And of course, we'll say, well, we don't want to cause any stir. And I understand, I don't want to cause stir either. We can be as nice about it as we can. But the fact is, if we don't stand for truth, truth goes out the window. That's how we got here in the first place, for not standing for truth. We may have decided to worship God, but that doesn't mean that those around us have. By the way, you don't have to fight for God. God can fight for himself. We need to obey God and let God show himself great and mighty. You know the story of Gideon. They didn't fight for God. They didn't have to. God fought for himself. What were they supposed to do? What he told them to do. Listen, we get all upset because this and that. We fight for this. And I'm not saying we shouldn't deal with these things, but the government's not going to fix this. It's not right because the government said so. I mean, fact is, you know as well as I do that Mr. Obama, I remember him saying he had a pen and he's not afraid to use it, and he had all these executive orders. Well, Mr. Trump has made a bunch of executive orders too. And so what Mr. Obama said he was going to do, Mr. Trump says, no, you're not. In other words, we say, well, I got this legislation through. Well, it lasts as long as that particular person's in leadership. But God transcends all those things, and it changes when we change the hearts of the people. Next statement. They conquered an insurmountable enemy by obeying the Lord. They conquered an insurmountable enemy by obeying the Lord. The answer to the problem makes no sense. God wanted to make sure that they were not trusting in their own strength. In fact, he even said that. God wanted 300 men to go in the face of an innumerable army. And then God wanted them, now listen, let me kind of give you the picture here. You know the story, and they started out with about 32,000. And he said, now everybody who's scared and fearful, go home. Well, 22,000 of them go home. And then they stop at the river, and they want to see which one laps up the water and which one didn't, and one folks who were serious. And he basically had to send home all but 300. Now, I want you to think about this. We got 300 men. We got 100 over here, we got 100 over here, and we got 100 over here. And what he tells them to do is to put a pitcher. Now, if that pitcher really kind of means a pail, a bucket, like a water bucket. But it was probably, most likely, an earthen pottery type of pail, a pitcher, just a water pitcher. He said, now, I don't want anything in there, but I want you to put your torch down, to put a light in there. And then he gave every man a trumpet. Now, maybe we'll go back and read it or not, but I just want you to think about it. You've got all these multitude of people, thousands and thousands of soldiers. And so then you've got 300 men kind of stretched out around the bunch. Now, here they stand. I think it's the trumpet. I think it's the trumpet in the left hand and the pitcher in the right hand. Maybe it's the other way around. But let's just say this. They got this handful and this handful. So then he wants, so they're all sleeping. Now, if it was me, I think we would kind of sneak in and take one at a time. You know what I mean? While they're sleeping. Walk up on them. Drag them out. Kill them. Go back and get another one. We've got 300 men. We can do this. But oh no, that's not what God does. You got all these guys sleeping, middle of the night. He says, go in and sound the alarm. He wants them to wake them up. So now think about it. You've got 300 men, and now you've got thousands of soldiers who are now wide awake. How about this? Once you wake them up, then he wants you to turn the light on so everybody can see where you are. Do you understand? It's almost like saying, kill me. Here I am. Make myself a target. So there they wake them up, they show where they are, and they've got the horn in one hand, they got the pitcher, the light in the other hand. Where's the sword? So they say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Where's the sword? There's no sword but the Word of God. God's sword doesn't even need a handle. When God's going to take us down, His power will do the job simply by His Word. He spoke the Word into existence, the world into existence. There's no problem for God. How can a few hundred people defeat the thousands around them who want to destroy us? Real quick, ask you, how can we win this battle? Even in our own county, there's 440,000 people in York County. Actually, it's about 442, but let's just say 440,000. What if we had 20 churches running 1,000 apiece? I mean, Bible preaching churches. If we had 1,000, if we had 20 churches running 1,000, that's still only 20,000 people. There's still 420,000 people that are thinking in another direction. Now, if we're not careful, we'll start trying to fight this thing in the flesh. We'll start trying to argue with people. Here's how you do it. First thing, you sound the alarm. You sound the alarm. The Lord's going to come with a trump, the sound of a trumpet. There's a great day of the Lord coming, and we're all accountable. What am I saying? Preach Jesus and our accountability to Him. Jesus is coming back. Dr. Lee Robertson he had three little things. Have faith, die to self. Jesus is coming back. Have faith, die to self. Jesus is coming back. And you know, we laugh at that, but the fact is, you know what we need to do? We need to have faith, die to self, let Him control, and remember living in the presence of the Lord, living with actively realizing He's coming back. We're accountable. This is where we ought to be. He's coming back. We ought to sound the alarm. You know what? There's too many Christians who are scared to even say that Jesus is coming back. Everybody's going to think I'm weird. I mean, they're going to think I'm stupid. He thinks Jesus is going to come back down here out of the air and we're all going up. We're scared. He's coming back. Just as sure as He came the first time, He's coming back the second time. Sound the alarm. The Lord is coming and we're going to have to face Him. You don't want to mess with the Lord. Now the fact is, when they sounded that trumpet, we do know, history tells us, that there was usually so many trumpets per group of soldiers. And so each one of those trumpets, 300 of them, made it sound like there must have been thousands and thousands and thousands of soldiers. Because each one would have been in charge of a regiment. So the fact is, when that trumpet sounded, they're thinking, oh my soul, how many must there be? And they're all the way around us. We're dead men. We didn't make it real. Jesus is coming back. Two. We have to let the light shine. But we're going to let the light shine. The light that's inside this pot of clay It's the clay that keeps the light from shining. It's our flesh. If you want to make the light shine, you got to crack the pot. You got to break the pot. We have to be a broken and a contrite vessel to be used. We're not willing to give up anything. Sometimes it's status. Sometimes it's financial. Listen, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. We're so worried about hanging on to this. Listen, I'm sure there's a couple guys that, but this is the only water pipe. This is the only pail I have to get water. You want me to crack that thing? Crack it? Listen, we can always get another pot. But we don't do this worth shot. We're gone. We're dead men. He says, listen, we've got to be emptied. He says, the passage tells us that they were empty pitchers. We got to empty ourselves of self if the light's going to be able to shine. Pour it out. It says empty pitchers. That actually gives the idea of worthless. Nothing in them to give them value except the light. Earthen pail for domestic purposes, just a regular, empty, run-of-the-mill water bucket. But it lets the light shine. And number three, lift up the name of the Lord and give him the credit. He said, blow the trumpet. Break the pitchers. Let him see the light. And say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Now I want you to think about this. Shouting about an imaginary sword does not make it real nor effective. There they stand. The trumpet in one hand, the pitcher in the other. The sword of the Lord. Aren't we scary? But listen, this is how the Lord is going to win the battle. And we're saying, this is how the Lord is going to win the battle? How can this work? By the power of God. He says, I don't want you to think you did it. I want you to know that I did it. But see, that's why we're afraid to go to battle, because we don't know how we're going to do it. But we're not supposed to do it. We're supposed to break our pitchers, give ourselves wholly unto him, sound the alarm, and praise the Lord and give him credit for it. Let your light so shine. The Lord must win the battle in a way that we know we had very little to do with it other than obeying him. Why? Judges 7:2, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Listen, the problem we have is we have no king in Israel. We have no king, and everybody is doing that which is right in their own eyes. God is not going to let us win the battle. Because we'll keep ourselves on the throne as king. If we can win the battle, it has to be done in a way that only God can do. Simply obeying what his word says. The sword of the Lord is the word of the Lord. Preach the word, instant in season, out of season. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We need to preach the word. And when we wield the word of the Lord, we're wielding the sword of the Lord. Listen. The Lord says, you have 32,000, that's too many. But he didn't get rid of all of them. to give me 300. 300 against so many will obviously show my power because it wasn't them who did it. We run about 300 folks on Sunday morning. That's kind of what hit me when I read this passage. We run about 300 folks, plus some bus kids. But you know, every one of those soldiers, all 300, held a trumpet and sounded the alarm. Gideon didn't go there by himself. All 300 sounded the alarm. All 300 broke the vessel and said, I will give my all for the cause. All 300 had a light to shine and let the light shine. All 300. And all 300 were willing to say, the power is in the Lord's hands, the sword of the Lord, and us too, we get to go along for the ride. The sword of the Lord and of Lighthouse Baptist. The sword of the Lord and us. The word of God needs to be preached, and the word of God needs to be lived out by obedience. 2 Corinthians 3:2 says, ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle, the letter of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Let your light so shine before men. Listen, I've had folks, we're getting some of this done. I'm not here to promote Lighthouse Baptist. I'm here to promote Jesus Christ. However, there are folks who say, I've heard about Lighthouse Baptist. I've heard that they preach the Bible up there. I've seen those buses go up and down the streets. I've had folks come to my door. I've had people, I ran into one of those down at the mall, one of those Lighthouse people. Listen, that's the way it should be. We wield the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, over and over and over and over and over. Listen, we're not going to convince anybody to change their religion or change their political stance by trying to argue with them. They're just as set on what they believe as we're set on what we believe. The difference is the Word of God that changes. It's quick. It's powerful. Give God the credit for the victory and say, let's go do it. So how can this work? Well, how can Gideon have defeated a multitude of soldiers? He couldn't have. Not with 300. How can we make a difference in our community with just 300? We can't. But the fact is, we can't do it with 32,000 if the Lord's not in it. Oh, we might fill a building. We might go to 5 services. But is the Lord in it? Is it real? Does it reach down to the depths of their heart? Does it make them see their sin as it sin it is and see the wages of the sin and the victory we have in Christ? We need to break our earthen pitchers. There's some things we need to just say, it doesn't matter. It's more important that they see the light. Well, watch. If I go out and start living right and shine my light, boy, I'm going to be a target for these people. If I go down to my work and I start I just happen to just, I mean, I don't need, I mean, maybe hand out a tract here or two, or maybe just happy to let the Lord be part of my conversation. Boy, they're going to get their eye on me, and I'm going to have a target on my back. They're going to be harassing me, this and that. Okay, are you scared? We need to let our light shine. Wield the word of God. Give God the credit. We say, well, does it make sense? How is that going to work against such a vast army? If it made sense, it wouldn't take faith. If it didn't make sense to Gideon, it's probably not going to make sense to us. He could have won that battle by himself doing what he did, except that God says, here's how we do it. And if it worked for Gideon, it can work for us. How do you defeat the armies of the world? Sound the alarm. Break your pitcher. Let your light shine. And give the Lord the credit. You lift up Christ. Draw all men to Him. Father, we thank You for Your word and for speaking to us here this evening. Lord, may we be soldiers that are willing to take the stand, let the light shine, and give ourselves broken, holy unto You to make a difference to help defeat the army, defeat the world that's coming at us. Lord, they're the ones that are losing. Oh, again, we're not fighting against principalities. I mean, against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And so, Lord, our implements of war are not carnal, but they're spiritual. So we need to lift up the word of God, give it out, give ourselves over to Him, and give Him the credit. Lord, it can work. Lord, speak to our hearts. Raise a company of soldiers amongst us in our midst who say, I'll take that stand. I'll sound the alarm. I'm willing to break the pitcher. I'm willing to let my light shine and be used to win this battle against the darkness of this world. May that be our prayer. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Stand to your feet. Piano organ's going to